Hello again and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Scott Fitzsimmons, and we have got our representatives from our health region. I guess things have changed a little bit. Are you here from the Saskatchewan Health Authority? Is that how things are going right now, I guess?
That would be the official one, yes, for sure.
Wonderful. Well, it's great to have both of you here today. Our guests for the interview today are Anthony Huckabee, Regional Manager of EMS Emergency Preparedness, and Carolee Zorn, Manager of Yorkton Regional Health Center Emergency Obstetrics and Lactation Services. Great to have you here. We're talking emergency services. Now, this is something that covers a lot, covers so many different parts of the health system, but it also is something that needs a little bit of understanding how it works, what it's all about. First off, tell us a little bit about what you do with the health authority.
Well, I run all the ambulance services that are contracted within our area, because it's not really a health authority right now. So I look after the day-to-day management of the services that are owned by the health region. So Melville, Ituna, Landenberg, and Esterhazy.
Yep.
And I supervise the private owner-operator contracts in Yorkton, Kenora, Priestville, Foam Lake, and Norquay area. So I kind of overlook their operations, but it's a private organization, so they look after themselves.
Perfect.
And I manage the emergency room at the Yorkton Regional Health Center.
Nice.
So being a regional center, we do see the majority of, you know, the more serious cases from our working area. And so, and we see lots of people, you know, 50 to 60 patients a day, usually on average. So, so I manage the staff there, and I also try and help to educate the public and the staff on, you know, the proper use of the emergency room.
So, very nice.
Yeah, that's basically what I do.
Excellent. Well, I know that this is it's an incredible service that that we have is emergency services. When you think about it, of how much it can save lives when your health is at risk. I mean, it's very important. And so understanding the emergency services, how they work, is a very important thing. What are some of the things that that you wanted to share with us today when it comes to emergency services? Because again, there's a lot of people to cover. There's a lot of people that do need help, but you obviously want to make sure that people get the best service, the best care that they can when people are involved here.
Most definitely. Like, we don't want to tell anybody not to come to the emergency room, but in the same breath, use some common sense, be smart about it. You know, we want to give service to those who need it the most. That's our driver in the emergency room. So, I mean, if you're sitting at home and you've got some symptoms and you're not really sure if you should see a doctor or what you should do about them, you can always call the health line at 811. There's a health professional there that will answer your questions and give you some advice. They typically end with, you know, if you're still concerned in a few hours, you know, go to your nearest emergency room. But in the same breath, sometimes they can allay your fears, or they can give you some advice, you know, over the counter meds maybe, or something like that. Or they'll tell you, you know, this is very emergent. You need to call an ambulance and get to the hospital. So they will give you that advice as well. So that's usually the first step. You can also go see your family physician. So I know that's tough sometimes to get in with an appointment, but I mean, most receptionists are pretty open to, if you tell them that it's something emergent, you know, they'll try and get you in there, or they'll direct you to the emergency room as well.
Yeah.
But there is a walk-in clinic in Yorkton, and we really encourage people to consider that service as well, because it's run much the same way. You go in, you take a number, you wait your turn, you get seen by a physician, you're treated, and you go home, kind of thing. So, and it keeps those people out of the emergency room, you know, kind of thing. But then if it's something emergent, then you might want to give Anthony's service a call over there.
Yeah, so that's when I come in. Yes, indeed. That's, of course, you find yourself suddenly ill or injured, and you're unable to safely and competently transport yourself to the hospital. Then you would dial the 911 and access the ambulance system. And ambulances cost money, of course. You have to be aware that you're ultimately responsible for the bill of that ambulance. So in general, if you call an ambulance, it's $245 to pick you up. In town, there's no cost for mileage. But if you are transported between facilities from Yorkton to Regina and such, then you're charged $2.30 per kilometer to go there and back. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's waiting time that is applied onto that too. If we're required to wait for you in the city, it's $80 after the first half an hour. Mm. So we try to avoid that overtime. But ambulance is expensive, and it is essential that you realize that you have to have the proper insurance to be able to cover the cost of an ambulance. The average cost of, say, taking a patient from Yorkton Union Hospital to Regina is about $1,400.
Wow.
So it can be really expensive. If you are over 65, though, that cost is... The majority of that cost is covered except for the first $245.
Okay.
And you're responsible for that. The rest the government pays because, like we say, you know, our seniors are our most patients we transport the most. So they're on fixed income. So the government has for quite a few decades covered the majority of costs for ambulances. But still, there's a cost involved and people have to be aware of that when calling an ambulance.
Now, we know that STARS is also a part of the emergency services. How does this work different than an ambulance?
Well, STARS, what they do is they actually listen to our dispatch center. So they're constantly monitoring that. If they hear from our dispatch center as we're being dispatched to a local ambulance service that it's a critical call, the patient's severely injured, they will automatically launch and start heading out into that direction. And they will land at the scene in a timely manner if we're still at the scene, or they would meet the ambulance crew at the hospital where they are. And they bring to it, of course, a faster transport between facilities, and they bring in some cases a higher level of care. We are quite fortunate that a lot of our local hospitals already have advanced care paramedics in the ambulance service, so they are bringing faster transport and a higher level of care, but some of that care is available locally on a ground level as well. But there's a cost, of course, associated with the use of STARS. They charge $350 for you to use them.
Wow. Yeah. Well, great services to have if you need them. Invaluable when it comes to your life, when it comes to a lot of circumstances. But again, limited in the resources we have. And again, we talked about, the emergency room. You talk about having this walk-in clinic in Yorkton. I know that if you have to, obviously, the hospital is a great option. But if you're not needing it, I know that one of the things people don't like about the emergency room is sometimes you have to wait, and if you don't have an urgent matter, you're going to have to wait for people that do, which then ends up
I said, we're called an emergency room for a reason.
Yeah.
Right? We want to look after the emergent patients first.
Yeah.
So we use the Canadian Triage and Acuity Scale to determine how urgently you need to be seen. Mm-hmm. And so there's a number of different questions that we ask and score to give us your CTAS level, per se.
Yep.
There's five different levels, one being the most urgent. Those are the people who, if we don't intervene, if we don't do something for them, they're going to die.
Mm.
So someone who's been in a car accident is bleeding profusely, those types of things. People with chest pain, having an acute heart attack, strokes, anybody with those, life-threatening, urgent, we got to do something for you now kind of thing.
Yep.
Level twos are just below that. They're probably more stable than a one, but still needing some acute intervention in order to keep them alive and keep them where they're at. So those two levels are pretty close, and we have to work hard. It would take a lot of resources for us to manage those two levels.
Mm-hmm.
Level three is kind of the gray area. You got to go one way or another with a level three. They can turn acute worse very quickly, or they can settle down and turn it. So well, sometimes we're not quite sure with those. Those would be people with like abdominal pain or trouble breathing or those types of things. They come in, they're managing, but you can see they're struggling a bit. But, maybe it's a ruptured appy, maybe it's an asthma attack that's going to worsen, those types of things. So they sit there. Fours and fives are really less urgent patients. So a four is maybe someone who cut their finger, but the bleeding is controlled and they just need a few stitches and they can go home kind of a thing. And a five is actually our least urgent patients. So they're the ones who, you know, their prescription ran out and they need a refill, or they have a sore throat and they don't feel good, and they probably have a common cold, something like that. And so they could, you know, easily have waited, and unfortunately they probably will, because the reason we triage people is so we can get to the sickest people first. And yeah, maybe there's only two of you sitting in the waiting room and that's all you can see, but behind the doors and on the other side in the department, we've had three ambulances and two stroke alerts and a couple of chest pains walk in. So you're, or come in by ambulance, or sometimes they do walk in the front door. So sometimes, you know, you're going to be the one who's waiting. And unfortunately, it's not that your problem isn't important to us. We want to take care of you. We want to care for you. You're one of our clients. We respect that. But in the same breath, you need to respect that there are people that are sicker than you are. And we try and give you options, you know, like if we have options, we'll say, you know, you could go to the walk-in clinic. You might be seen quicker there because the wait time here is like 4 or 5 hours, that type of a thing. So, and Christmas is coming, right? So unfortunately, again, this year, doctors want to have time with their families and and stuff too. And Christmas kind of falls over a weekend, the weekend and then Christmas, you know, kind of thing. So there aren't going to be a lot of doctor's offices open over the Christmas season. And we respect that. We understand why that's happening. In the same breath, though, that usually means we're seeing more patients at the hospital. Last year, we almost doubled the number of patients we saw at the emergency room. And so that's going to mean longer wait times. That's, there's one physician in the emergency department for the majority of the time. And although we can call in backup, we try and avoid that if we can, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we will, you know, we can't send people away, but we also want to encourage people to use their common sense. Go and see your physician in the next few days. If you have to get your prescriptions, look at your prescriptions, make sure. If you're feeling kind of under the weather now, then get it looked after now. Don't let it get worse, you know. Realize that if you come to the emergency room over Christmas, it's going to be an extended wait time. So don't get mad at us when that happens. And, you know, we'll try and keep you as informed as we can. But unfortunately, that's just kind of how it goes. Right?
Plan for entertainment while you're waiting. You know, I mean, you know, as a parent, you know, when you're taking kids, and then sometimes when stuff happens in the middle of the night, you have to. But you prepare for it. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that I've always kind of tried to keep the mindset that, you know what, if I'm in that urgent need, I want to be thankful that that I'm able to be looked at in that timely fashion.
You or one of your family members.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, if and Anthony knows too, like if something emergent comes in, if the department is overcrowded with things that, you know, could have waited maybe, the staff are divided in who, you know what I mean? They have to go to those sicker people first.
Yes,
so even if you're in a room, you might wait for an extended period of time while the nurses and doctors
It needs
deal
to be said,
that,
too, that so. The ambulance people, because just because you come in by ambulance doesn't mean you jump or circumvent the CTAS scale either.
Yeah.
You may come in by an ambulance, you may be brought into the emergency room and put into a room, but you are still subject to that CTAS. So calling an ambulance will not get you ahead of the line, will not get you to see the doctor sooner. You're still assessed on that scale. So you may find yourself in the emergency room, you may find yourself in a bed, but you're still going to wind up waiting, but you are occupying space to anything else that comes in that door. So you are, we only have limited space, we only have limited resources in ambulance as well as in the hospital for these people.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when it comes to the triage, I mean, this is something that, I mean, you hear about triage in different areas. What does triage mean, and how is this process handled when you get to the emergency room?
Well, you come into the triage room, and hopefully within 10 minutes of the time that you were registered, and that's what we shoot for all the time. And then you're just asked a series of questions. And sometimes we use the triage room as a bit of an assessment room as well. If we have the time and we have the staff, we will do a little bit, ask a few more questions. But sometimes it's just, what brought you to the emergency today? And if it's something that isn't at all urgent, then we're just going to look at you and say, you know what, I'm going to get you to sit in the waiting room. Let me know if anything worsens in the time that you're sitting there. But mm-hmm. I have a lot of patients, you know, and it'll be a 2 or 3 hour wait kind of thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just ask a few more in-depth questions, maybe take your vital signs, do that type of thing if we have the time to do that. Mm-hmm. One thing I would like to bring to the public's attention, though, is that we have started now to ask some questions about your mental health, because we treat the whole person. And some sicknesses are foundational in mental health, and sometimes our physical health affects our mental health. So we tended not to ask a lot of questions about mental health, but now we do. So the first question we'll ask you is, have you been feeling hopeless, helpless, or had any feelings of despair in the last little while? If you say yes to that question, then we'll go a little further and we'll say, have you been, you know, thinking about committing suicide? Mm-hmm. So it's a mental health screen. It's a suicide screen. You know, you'd be surprised the number of people we have actually identified who needed some mental health help, right? So then, depending on the severity of that, if you say yes, I want to kill myself, then we'll ask you if you have a plan. And it's just the severity of it. Then we can decide who are you best to see.
Yeah.
And this is even if this isn't the reason you came in. Like, we ask everybody these questions. So maybe I came in because I stubbed my big toe and I think it might be broken. But then you had this going on in the background before that even happened, and it comes out during that. So we'll try and get you the help that you need, right? So it might mean a referral to psych. It might mean some counseling. It might mean some different things. And there's no shame in that. You know, our mental health is just as important as our physical health. So if you need help in that area, we want to provide that for you as well.
Well, how many times have we talked about people are looking for somebody to talk to? They just don't know who. So I'm sure just asking the question, even maybe as a part of the process, gives them a chance to, you know what, I have been feeling like this. I mean, that's incredible that that's a part of that now, because it really does open up for somebody to talk about something that they needed to talk about.
Like I said, there's no shame in your mental self can get sick just like your physical self.
Yep.
And sometimes there's a physical reason for that. Sometimes there's a lot of stress in your life, mental things going on. Sometimes you're just to a point where you don't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. And that's the people we're trying to reach. We're trying to normalize it. It's a part of us. It's a part of our whole self. Mm-hmm. We've always wanted to treat the whole person.
Yep.
So this just opens the door for that. And we're hoping that we'll be able to help more people by asking those questions.
Wonderful. So. Mm-hmm. You're listening to All You Ever Wanted to Know. We're talking with representatives from, I guess, was known as the Sunrise Health Region, and now, I guess, part of the Saskatchewan Health Authority. We'll talk more about that in just a few moments as we continue on All You Ever Wanted to Know. We're back here on All You Ever Wanted to Know. Once again, talking with Anthony Huckabee, Regional Manager of EMS Emergency Preparedness, and Carolee Zorn, Manager of the Yorkton Regional Health Center Emergency. And now we've talked recently in the last week, really, a few things have changed. I know, and some people are kind of wondering about that. It's not Sunrise Health Region by name anymore, is it?
No, it goes by Saskatchewan Health Authority now.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we're global, we're a provincial area now. We're not 13 separate health regions anymore. So our upper authority has changed. We have a new CEO, one CEO. We have one chief operating officer, which I'm glad to hear it was Suanne Lorette. She's our ex-CEO of this health region.
Right.
So
she's
been promoted to a very prominent position with the new health authority. They've determined some of their vice presidents for the area, and it's quite a different flow chart than what we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they are kind of doing a top-down type organization where let's get the executive in place, and then let's get everything else moving over time and settle out how everything will be run after that. So for the most part, you're not going to see any difference in regards to your local service delivery. You're going to see the same doctors, the same nurses, going to be the same managers. You're going to have the same people working in the departments that you're traditionally used to seeing and referring to. And there may be changes coming to that in the future. We really don't know. But the goal of the new authority is to patient first, and have minimum, if no impact whatsoever to the patient. And that's the goal of the health region is, we like what we're doing for the patients, let's serve them first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, is anything going to change for services or how we go about, accessing these services?
Right now, nothing's going to be changing. Mm-hmm. If there's going to be changing coming in the future, we'll be told about that well in advance. But as long as the focus remains on the patient first, there should be little to no impact whatsoever on patient care. Mm. And that's the goal of this whole organization, is they are organizing into a single health authority to make it better delivery for our patients. So the patients are the main focus of the change.
I think the Saskatchewan Health in general has always been about continuous quality improvement, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, change has become almost a normal way of life for us in healthcare. We're always trying to change process to clean it up, make it more efficient so that people get the services they need in the most efficient manner in the quickest way possible, right? And not to waste anything, right? Mm-hmm. We're always working hard for that. And especially at the front line, we want patients to have the services they need when they need them in the right amount by the right people.
Yeah.
So we're constantly in this province looking at our healthcare and trying to align it with that. So it's about improvement. It's about improvement to service. It's about not wasting money. It's about quality service the time, right?
We always believe we can be better.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think that's the good point of us Saskatchewan people is the fact that we say good is never good enough. We can always do better.
Yep.
And I think that's the goal of this is we know and we can do better in what we're already doing.
Yeah.
Well, and I think one of the things, the main point of today is how, as we, the accessors of these services, how can we help and do our part in allowing you to do your job more efficiently and helpfully? And I think that that you guys have done a great job in letting people know about that, like you said, with the walk-in clinics, with the health line, all different ways that you can utilize services in a less expensive manner for us to, to be paying for as a part of our health services, but also maybe take some people out of those lines in the emergency room and make your waits shorter when it comes to the other things as well.
Christmas is all about waiting in line, right?
That's right.
So, bring a book.
Yep.
We have a TV in the waiting room. If you choose to come, be reasonable, use your common sense, and be patient with us. If you're willing to come, if you think you need to be seen, then please come. We will never refuse to see you. But in the same breath, realize that we want to see the sickest patients first, that it will always be our goal. And you might have to wait a little bit.
Because things change
sometimes, for sure.
Too. If you came in with, sinus congestion. And later on, as you're sitting there, you have a pre-existing condition and now you're starting to develop chest pain. You are going to be assessed.
Yep.
The nurses and the doctors know you are there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're starting to have a change in your condition or something has changed, by all means, you need to speak up and bring that forward.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't forget you're there. But you're constantly being reassessed and reevaluated. And as more people come in, you could find yourself going from second in line to 10 in line. And you may be there for a number of hours, depending on the nature of the people that are still coming through our door. Because our goal is to see and deal with the people that need us the most first.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come in with a minor condition, be prepared to wait.
Yep. Absolutely. And again, one of the things that you mentioned earlier is that, if you do need to take an ambulance or you do take an ambulance, you're not bypassing that CTES system and you're going to pay for that service.
Yes. And that's important to know, as ambulance costs money.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And I can't always emphasize the fact you have to have insurance for ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be changes coming in the future to ambulance too. Again, that's down the road because that will be looked at on a provincial basis as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not quite sure what changes are going to be. That could be a long process. This whole process could be years before we start seeing any really significant changes to our existing system. But change is coming. We just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah. Well, it's been great to have you here with us today. Anything else you want to share with us before we wrap things up?
Well, I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And, you know, if we see over Christmas, that's fine. We'll be there 24/7. Yeah. So.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I would have to stress, too, is the EMS is there. Yeah. We're always there. We're always ready to help and lend safe, competent care and transport mm-hmm. to the sick and injured.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much to all that you do and the people that that you're working with emergency services. I know they're incredible people, and we've always been blessed to have been in your care. So we appreciate what you guys do as well, and thank you so much for being here. If people want to find out more about the Saskatchewan Health Authority, about the services, how can they do that?
There is a website that they mm-hmm. can visit that's under the Sask Health Authority, and there's some information for them there. And they're welcome to call our communications department anytime if they would like to know more. The numbers haven't changed, so they're welcome to call us there as well.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that information is readily available online. Even if you want more information on the CTAS system, you can actually download the app.
Oh, nice.
And you can actually look for more information on CTAS to see how it works.
Excellent. Well, it's good to know all very good information for people to pay mind to when it comes to this time of season, but also throughout the regular time of year as well. So thank you once again. We're talking emergency services with Anthony Huckabee, Regional Manager of EMS and Emergency Preparedness, and Carolee Zorn, Manager of Yorkton Regional Health Center Emergency Obstetrics and Lactation Services. Thank you so much for being here today. It's been great to have you.
Thanks for having us.
This has been All You Ever Wanted to Know. Coming up next, it is the All Request Lunch. Have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.